Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is our reading, Psalm 100. I hate to disappoint you, but you're not going to learn anything in this school that is new. It is always a desire in the heart of the seminary student, that one preparing for the ministry, to find that magic formula for making my ministry a success. What's the key? What's the answer? What kind of preaching style, or how should I do exegesis, or how about the application of systematics in the life of the people? How do I do it? I'm sorry about that. But the same old questions that were posed 1,000 years ago and 2,000 and 3,000 are still the same questions you'll ask and answer today. They've never changed. Where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those or some variation thereof. Perhaps we can put them all together and pose it to ourselves in this question: what am I for? What are people for? Certainly, the world has given us many answers. As those who feel that our life is to sample and taste everything out there to the fullest extremes as I try and go through life at high speed until the hour comes when life is no more. I've tried everything. There are those who feel that they must make some great contribution so their name lasts forever. And someone raises a great marble or granite statue in their memory before their hour comes and nothing is left. There are those who simply try and cope through life, hoping to get one more day. What are people for? We know what has brought about those kind of answers. It's known as S-I-N, sin. And we all stagger under that burden. And sin always produces a fruit in our life, doesn't it? And we know what those fruits are. We've been forced to eat them more than once. And the bitterness and the sorrow and the disgust and the panic and the hopelessness and loneliness brought on by sin makes us question what life is for and if it's worth it. Psalm 100 tells us what life is for. But we have to begin, you see, with the last verse. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, if we begin with that verse, we're on to what life is for, and we will find that the rest of the psalm follows with its 7 great imperatives, which makes life full and rich. Lord is good. What do we mean by the Lord is good? Simply that there is some standard, you know, good, bad, middle of the road, and we put God up. Oh, I guess he measures over here on good. Oh, no, people. God forbid. He is the standard of good. And only what measures up to him is good. What he ordains is always the good. And as he overlooks our world and your life and mine, he wills for us the good. That which fulfills his will for us and for our world. He wills us no evil, the one who is good. And we are forced to look at that next part, which is central. His mercy is everlasting. Mercy is chesed. His mercy is what? His loving kindness. The Scots have a word for it. They would call it his leal love. His leal love. It is his loyal love. It is a love that never changes, that never misses its mark, that never decides to abandon or make some changes midstream. But it's a loyalty to his world which gives him a desire and the will to send his son into this world so that he might bear our sins and carry our sorrows and pay for our death and atone for what we are and were and would be. And that leal love will never let go, as we find in Hosea, as he sends Hosea back to his wife again and again and again. So he comes to us again and again in his son and offers forgiveness and renewal and acceptance. He accepts me as I am, where I am, as all the world. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth, his word, his son, his promise, his guarantee. He never changes. Nothing changes with God. Thank God. Which brings us to our seven imperatives. What's life for? The psalm would tell us what life is for. Imperative one, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. We respond to God's grace and his love. We know that we are to answer to what he has done for us. A shout, a verbalization, an expression of our trust, our response to what he has done in his son. We cannot stand like mute, dumb animals before the cross. There must be a response. Serve the Lord with gladness. Our second imperative. Service both here in his house and in our lives in the world. What are we for? Why, to speak his praise, to shout his praise, and to serve him and to serve all the earth in his name and with his gospel. That's what life is for. Come before his presence with singing. To stand in the presence of God is something that one would attain to, would he not? Can you imagine to stand in God's presence without terror or fear or an anxiety of what will happen? But we are commanded by him to come into my presence, for the Christ has made you welcome to me. And we are welcome and we are encouraged to stand and kneel before him. Not simply in church, but in our homes and our work and in our world and his world. We walk in the presence of God day by day, hour by hour. That's what you're for. Luther said it. We are little Christs to our world. We are living in his presence. Know ye that the Lord is God. Why? There's a cognitive value here, isn't there? God is not some mystical, vaporous ideal, some original principle out there somewhere. We are to know him and experience him. We are to learn of him from his word, and we are to experience him in our lives through his word. He is a known, named God. We know of whom we speak and live. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We are called to make our lives focal points of worship. All we do is worship. Whatever it is. It reflects no ego trip for us, no escape mechanism, but rather centers our lives on the one who has called us and made us his own. Give thanks and bless his name. The last two. So easy to say, oh, give thanks to God. But not when you are suffering under great deprivation or bearing some cross, when the clouds are heavy and the days are dark and life is gloomy. Give thanks. That's an imperative. All the time. A life that lives in thanks is a rich and joyful life in Jesus Christ. Bless his name. Nothing but blessing from our lips. We who have received, return. Depending totally upon the one who has made us his own by his blood. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Praise him. That's what you are for. Seven imperatives. Whether you are studying or preaching or counseling or living or dying, that's what you're for. Making joyful praise, serving, coming before him, knowing him, entering his gates, giving thanks and blessing. Blessing the holy name. That's what we're for. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.